Salam khawateen aur hazrat, welcome back to the 382nd episode of Thought Behind Things. Today is the 15th of November 2023 aur aaj hamare sath ek bahut hi khaas mehman hai jinhone recently ek tehlka macha diya Pakistan mein by announcing a very very large startup funding round. This coming at a time jab hum consistently sun rahe the ki startups are failing and Pakistan ki startup industry is by and large dead aur sath hi ek negative sentiment aisa tha ki ji ab to bas 10 saal kuch bhi nahi hoga. Main khud bada down hua tha, I'll be very very honest. And ye dekh kar ab mujhe zahir ek question mark to zarur aaya ki ye kaise hua mumkin jab puri duniya ke economic halaat mushkil hain aur ek bahut aapko high interest rates pe free money mil raha hai. So there has to be a lot more nuance to this particular announcement. And aaj hamare sath maujood hain Faisal Aftab sahab. He's been on the show previously as well, but aaj I wanted to bring him in again, try to understand ki ye kaise hui funding, क्या ऐसा सेंटिमेंट है जो वो देख रहे हैं और उनके इन्वेस्टर्स देख रहे हैं जो हम नहीं देख पा रहे थे. उनको क्या लगता है कि इकॉनमी आगे किस तरह इवॉल्व करेगी और ख़ासकर स्टार्टअप्स जो कि पाकिस्तान में जो इस वक्त सबसे बड़ी कॉन्वर्जेशन रही है कि हमारी इकॉनमी को मद्देनज़र रखते हुए क्या हमारी इकॉनमी चला भी सकती है स्टार्टअप्स, क्या हमें दूसरी जगहों पे फोकस करना चाहिए. तमाम सवाल मैंने आज उनसे डिस्कस किए हैं एंड आई बीन एबल टू गेट फेयरली सेटिस्फाइंग आंसर्स एज वेल. अगर आप इस चैनल पे नए हैं तो सब्सक्राइब करना मत भूलिएगा, अगर आप पुराने हैं तो वीडियो को लाइक करना मत भूलिएगा, इससे हमारे एल्गोरिथम को बड़ा फायदा होता है. अगर आपके कोई थॉट्स हैं तो कमेंट सेक्शन में जरूर आके बताएं. आई लिसन टू ऑल ऑफ देम, आई रीड ऑल ऑफ देम एंड इट रियली हेल्प्स मी इंप्रूव द क्वालिटी ऑफ कॉन्वर्जेशन. अगर आप ओवरसीज पाकिस्तानी हैं तो नीचे दिए हुए लिंक के ऊपर आप हमें सपोर्ट कर सकते हैं टू हेल्प अस स्टे इंडिपेंडेंट फॉर एज लॉन्ग एज पॉसिबल. बट एनी Anyways, here is Faisal Aftab on TBD Islamabad Studio. Faisal bhai, assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the show.
Welcome, Salam. Thanks for having me again.
First of all, congratulations on your announcement.
Thank you.
Personally, people who've been seeing the podcast, I've been very sort of bearish on startups in Pakistan aur it's a huge number jo aapne announce kiya hai. Thoda sa give me context of what's going on here because sentiment is just completely down. Nobody was expecting ki acha Pakistani, kyunki hum to constantly ye sun rahe hain ki ek ke baad ek collapse aa raha hai. और जो हैं भी अभी एग्जिस्ट कर भी रही हैं वो पाकिस्तान में ऑपरेशंस खत्म कर रही हैं, वो बाहर जाने की कोशिश कर रही हैं. सो व्हाट्स हैपेंड that has changed that sentiment? And my understanding is this money is not ki local ka hi paisa nahi ikhatta hua, ye bahar se investors hain.
Yeah, all foreign investors.
So give me some context of what's happened.
Yeah, sure. So look, there's lag effects. So I think if you recall last time I had mentioned that I went bearish very early. Ye main 2002 ki baat kar raha hu. In around Jan-Feb 2022, I had gone very, very negative on the Pakistan startup ecosystem because aapka jo 2021 wala cycle tha, that started to look towards the tail end like the dot-com bubble.
Right.
I mean, if you're seeing companies that are trying to raise money for the first time, just an idea and a team, coming up to you and saying, kid, we're raising our pre-seed round at a valuation cap of $15 million, realistically, that is illogical. That's higher than Vietnam, it's higher than most markets around you. I knew at that point, and I actually didn't participate in that deal. I actually never came in at a cap higher than about 6 million, I think, was the worst cap that I came in at, which has still been good. So, and then the main reason also, as I mentioned, was the Fed. When they gave forward guidance in October 2021, indicating that we're going to be raising rates in March. Typically, jab bhi unhone rates raise kiye, because this is a risk on asset class worldwide. By the way, VC is down worldwide, tech overall. It was a foregone conclusion that you're going to see a downturn in tech. So how did that play to our advantage? A lot of my portfolio companies, I gave them advice early on in March, as early as March 2022, that guys, it's going to be a tough couple of years ahead. And so while the sentiment is still there, go ahead and raise what you can and then conserve the capital, meaning that there's no need to show unnecessary growth because the incremental investor is not there. Unfortunately, investors also demand, they want to see growth and then they come in.
Right.
And so basically now you have to create a 24-month runway or survival period. Jo us waqt maine speculatively kaha tha around Q2 of 2024 mein hoga. And then later, 6 months later, I realized it'll be closer to the end of 2024. just based on some of the macros in Pakistan, the way they played out, but it was speculative. So now, fast forward to 2023. So when I made that statement, by the way, most of my peers in the industry kind of just shrugged it off and ye kya pagal wali baatein kar rahe. Because when you're in the midst of a bubble, it is not, your property may be at the har cheez nahi hota hai. It is not easy to spot the peak of the market. And nobody can time it, but you try to assess, ki, yaar, this looks like it's not sounding very good. 15 million ki valuation caps, first time, a deck ke upar, and just a team on it, right? So fast forward to June of 2023, I did the same thing. I said the sentiment wise, the bottom of the sentiment is in Pakistan's market, in terms of overall market, because the economy and the market is nothing more than sentiment. That bottom was from April to June 2023, in my opinion. And again, when we look back in 24 months, so if let's say we go back in 2025 and look, we'll realize that was the best time to go in and build positions in Pakistan. So what's just happened is that the smart money in the world has basically positioned, seeing Pakistan's potential, and come in and backed some of the best companies in our ecosystem. We've had a lot of companies, but failure is a part of this ecosystem. So those that survive will thrive.
दुनिया भर में टेक्नोलॉजी बहुत इवॉल्व कर चुकी है. अब आप घर बैठे एक मोबाइल फ़ोन से पूरी दुनिया में किसी किस्म की भी डिफरेंट एसेट्स, स्टॉक्स या इवन क्रिप्टो करेंसीज खरीद सकते हैं. जहां पर ये टेक्नोलॉजिकल एवोल्यूशन आया, वहां पे भी अनफॉर्चुनेटली हालात ऐसे हैं कि इकॉनमी एक ऐसी जगह पर पहुंची हुई है कि बड़े आजकल बुरे हालात हैं. इन्फ्लेशन बहुत ज़्यादा बढ़ रही है, सेविंग्स हमारी डिप्लीट हो रही हैं, ज़्यादातर लोग इन्वेस्टमेंट्स करते ही नहीं, और जो करते भी हैं वो 90% लॉसेज अनफॉर्चुनेटली बनाते हैं. इसी प्रॉब्लम को सॉल्व कर रहा है sarmaya.pk, जो कि अपने फाइनेंशियल ट्रेडिंग प्लेटफॉर्म्स पे ट्रेनिंग्स भी ऑफर करता है और डेटा भी ऑफर करता है, जिससे आप पूरी दुनिया की मार्केट्स, खासकर पाकिस्तानी मार्केट्स को बआसानी देख सकते हैं. अगर आप लोग अपने इन्वेस्टमेंट्स और ट्रेडिंग में स्ट्रगल कर रहे हैं, तो आई वुड डेफिनेटली अर्ज यू टू चेक आउट सरमाया फाइनेंशियल प्लेटफॉर्म. इट्स अ रिमार्केबल प्लेस, जहां पर आपको बहुत इंटरेस्टिंग रिपोर्ट्स के थ्रू डेटा भी मिलता है, इन्वेस्टमेंट की एडवाइस भी मिलती है, और खासकर उनकी ट्रेनिंग्स, जहां पर उनके एक्सपर्ट्स जो हैं वो आपको क्रिप्टो और स्टॉक मार्केट और कमोडिटीज और एसेट्स के अंदर ट्रेड करके पैसे कमाना सिखाते हैं. सो चेक आउट द प्लेटफॉर्म एंड चेक आउट देयर ट्रेनिंग्स. नाउ बैक टू द पॉडकास्ट. यू नो, यू आर वेरी फोकस्ड ऑन स्टार्टअप्स एंड आप पूरे उसी उसमें वो कर रहे हैं. आई हैड अ कन्वर्सेशन विद समवन रिसेंटली एंड ही स्पोक अबाउट हाउ पाकिस्तान, कोई भी इकोनॉमी जब ग्रो करती है तो उसको पहले हार्ड इंडस्ट्री चाहिए, फिर उसको सॉफ्ट इंडस्ट्री चाहिए, सर्विसेज इंडस्ट्री चाहिए, और फिर हम कह सकते हैं कि यार स्टार्टअप्स का राइज आएगा. इंडिया में 30-40 ईयर्स ऑफ हार्ड कोर सॉर्ट ऑफ BPO, कॉल सेंटर्स, IT इंडस्ट्री, जब वो $150 billion ऑफ IT एक्सपोर्ट सालाना करती हैं, उसकी बैक के ऊपर दे कैन हैव यूनिकॉर्न्स कम आउट, राइट? पाकिस्तान में अनफॉर्चुनेटली, एंड दिस इज समथिंग दैट आई एक्सपीरियंस्ड पर्सनली रिसेंटली एज वेल, के वेन यूर अराउंड द स्मार्टेस्ट मैन इन द रूम, particularly a lot of the people who had jo old money crowd tha, they did not go from conventional industry to again soft industry, they directly jumped to startups, or it almost seemed like a degenerative gambling hai ke yaar hit aur miss ke upar main chala leta hu. क्योंकि इंडिया में कंपैरेटिवली जब बड़ा बिजनेसमैन था वो घुसा, लाइक टाटा कंसल्टिंग में वो घुसा, यू डिडंट नीड अ सॉफ्टवेयर इंजीनियर टू बिल्ड IT कंपनीज, यू एक्चुअली नीडेड अ हार्डकोर बिजनेसमैन हु अंडरस्टूड हाउ द वर्ल्ड वर्क्स. एंड सो इट सीम्स लाइक के जो हमारा एक डॉलर का क्राइसिस कंटिन्यूअसली आता है, वो लार्जली इस वजह से है, बिकॉज द स्मार्टेस्ट मैन इन द रूम एंड द वंस हु हैव मनी मोर ऑफन देन नॉट डोंट लुक एट द हार्ड वर्क के यार अच्छा मुझे बंदा बनाना पड़ेगा, बेचना पड़ेगा, सारा कुछ करना पड़ेगा. और मिडिल क्लास जिस चीज़ से बनती है वो बाय एंड लार्ज आपको होती भी नहीं नज़र आती है. आपको मैक्सिमम ये होता है कि यार फूड पैंड आ जाएगा, ये आ जाएगा, वो आ जाएगा, तो आपकी जॉब्स बन जाएंगी बट नॉट वेरी हाई पेइंग जॉब्स, मनी जस्ट बींग रोटेटेड इन द मार्केट. द आइडिया ऑफ वेल्थ बींग क्रिएटेड बट नॉट रियली, व्हाट आर योर थॉट्स ऑन दैट?
So look, there's two economies you're talking about, right? Yes, so that was a process in India, but also understand when India was rising in technology, technology was in its like very nascent let's say web 1.0, right? There was 2.0 and then 3.0. In Pakistan, all this is happening together. right? So we did have a small software industry that's emerged over the years. I think it's actually a lot bigger than we give it credit for. The reality is that because of our bad capital control policies, most of that money is parked abroad. And only the expenses are being brought in Pakistan, right? So, okay, that's an element. That's actually more of a glorified project management HR function, that you're doing software development for companies overseas. In terms of what startups are, these are real businessmen. So ye pehli dafa hai Pakistan ki history mein, and I'll tell you why I'm so bullish, is, look, Pakistan has a glass ceiling. You're kind of basically, at least if you're reliant on the local economy, which the bulk of the population is, not everyone can leave the country, right? There's a lot of talent here. But if I'm born into a family where, let's say, I have assets, it is very easy, and a relationship with the bank, it is very easy for me to go, even with mediocre intelligence, put up my collateral. Let's say I have 4 commercial plots and I have an idea, get money from a bank and launch that asset. And then I have a network to go out and build a business, right? This is the first time in Pakistan that people are going and making bets on people based on pure intellect and capability without asking for collateral. So we're not saying you need to have anything apart from your brain. I can assure you when this happens, and this has happened repeatedly in the world, let's ignore the US today. It happened during the Industrial Revolution. People like Henry Ford went from a bicycle shop to innovation. I can give you 20 examples like this, right? So Pakistan has that example. Shahid Khan is an example of being one of the richest men in the world and effectively innovating, and he's a Pakistani, right? So if we can bet on Pakistanis, and I've lived in America, in the US most of my life before I moved, I'm a Pakistani American. So when you see Pakistanis abroad, when they're put in a fair system and given a fair chance, we do really well. ये ऑर्गेनाइजेशनल बिहेवियर का मसला है यहाँ पे कि बेसिकली आपकी एक क्लास में लोग स्टक हो जाते हैं बिकॉज ऑब्वियसली द स्ट्रक्चर इज काइंड ऑफ प्रीटी स्टक इन पाकिस्तान एंड दैट्स व्हाट डिस्ट्रप्शन इज सो व्हेन वी आर पुटिंग मनी आप खुद सोचिए कि इट्स लाइक यू पुटिंग एट अ टाइम व्हेन नोबडी वांट्स टू इन्वेस्ट इन पाकिस्तान इवन व्हेन पीपल आर सेइंग द इको स्टार्टअप इको सिस्टम इज डेड $30 to $50 million इतने कंफर्टेबली आए हैं जो रेगुलर बिजनेस में नहीं आ रहे इस वक्त राइट सो दैट शुड टेल यू कि व्हाट द पोटेंशियल इज एंड व्हाट द वर्ल्ड सीज दिस इज अ शॉर्ट ब्लिप सो नाउ व्हेन आई बैक समवन लाइक लेट्स से फैजान फ्रॉम बुक मी उमर फ्रॉम पोस्टेक्स देयर इज अनदर उमर फ्रॉम हवाल इफ यू मीट दीज गाइज दीज आर लोकल गाइज सन्स ऑफ द सॉइल राइट दे डिडंट हैव टू मच कैपिटल देमसेल्व्स बट दे हैड हाई इंटेलेक्ट हाई कैपेबिलिटी हाई रेजिलियंस एंड वंस वी बैक देम एंड गेव देम मनी ईच वन ऑफ देम हैज क्रिएटेड companies that are formidable. It doesn't matter if there's an upturn and a downturn. Wo jo aapko sari explosions nazar aa rahi hain, those are the people that jumped into the fray. So bubbles are part of it, right? So it's not, if the crypto world would be, it wasn't my fault if you went and invested in Dogecoin,
right?
Or Dogcoin, how they call it. The point is that there are 10,000 cryptos. If you invested in the right ones, like Bitcoin, which is less risky, it's risky, but less risky. Ethereum, which is a little bit more risk, could have competitors, but if you pick the right ones and you didn't get greedy, you still had a lot of return. What that's called greed, and greed happens in all bubbles. Anything that's new when it's starting innovation wise, whether it's a new housing society, whether it's a new industry, it has initial bubbles because people tend to believe it's like the new gold rush. Mm-hmm. And so everyone runs after it, and then everyone with knowledge, With the knowledge of the industry and without knowledge of the industry, thinks they can go in, as you aptly identified. Mm. And what ended up happening, a lot of the corporates in Pakistan went in directly. So there were companies like Service and Sapphire and Systems that went into startups. And they're very formidable companies, smart individuals, but going into early stage companies is a total different game. Mm. And so they ended up having to write those companies down.
Right.
In my opinion, those guys are needed, but they should be coming in more at the later stage. Jab companies ek bar product market fit, revenues in place, some level of profitability, unit economics, come in series B. You lose a little bit of upside, but you won't lose all your money. Chances are it'll make it by that time.
Right.
So we mimic a lot of things. Everybody has their own position within the ecosystem in terms of where you should be entering at and what stage. And early stage mein ye hota hai, you have a bubble, a lot fail, and those that survive thrive. And what you're seeing are the early signs of the entry of smart money positioning itself for the next cycle.
So do you think jo ye abhi aapki announcement hai, this is not just like an oasis in the desert, this is the start of sentiment reversing? Kyunki abhi to sentiment again ye tha ki yaar bas karna hi nahi hai, koi scene hi nahi hai. Do you think ab hum finally keh sakte hain acha this is the first step, aage hame behtar announcements bhi nazar aayenge?
Yes. Do you think so? It's all gradual, right?
Right.
So maybe these announcements I'm doing now, it was the last 6 months, probably when I think Pakistan looked like it was, there's no hope, right? But agar is period mein ye funds raise ho gaye hain, to aap sochenge agle saal when as the US cuts rates and we get fiscal space, and then when the US cuts rates, it's very important because that creates a risk on mindset in the form of in for everyone on the planet. And then what happens is incremental, the amount of money that's been printed in the world, the incremental capital then looks to take on further risk to front run other investors to make more money. It's a mechanism of greed and being opportunistic, right?
Right.
That will filter back to Pakistan. So, but I think this time is going to be different. It's not going to be the same as 2021, which in my opinion was an epic bubble. So
right.
2021 was similar to a lot of your audience are younger. If they go back and look at history books, we had something called the dot-com bubble in 2000 and 2001. It lasted for almost 2 years, but the peak was in basically tail end of 99 and 2000. That was a frenzy where Web 1.0, you basically had everyone betting on the internet. It would be things like pets.com.
Thoda sa, if you can contextualize it for, what was the average person in the US seeing at that time? When that sort of bubble started happening, and
so think of it this way: this is when the internet first came about in the early 90s, right? If you look at media reports, people were like, "The internet's a fad." It was actually looked at very similar to the way Bitcoin and cryptos are looked at right now. They would like laugh at it, and they're like, "Yeah, all these predictions of the internet become pervasive in our lives is something that we don't see. It's a fad, and it'll be used for some things, but it won't be used." Predominantly, that clearly today doesn't appear to be the case. It's disrupted a lot of industries, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. So human nature is to over speculate. So there was one sentiment that just said, yeah, this doesn't work. There's the other sentiment that goes in and over believes the adoption rate. So they're like, you know what, the dot-com domain was like a gold rush, similar to what happening in crypto. So everyone went and bought domains, and then you would buy a domain. It could be something as, you know, simple as like mango.com, and somebody else would say, yes, mango.com, this person is going to control the mango market in the world, so I'll buy this for you from you for 10,000, 50,000. Some of those bids went up to millions of dollars. In 2000, millions of dollars was a big deal,
yeah.
Right, purchasing power wise,
yeah.
And so there were a lot of people that made a ton of money, and it dissipated. So that was the dot-com bubble. It came in, it popped. So Pakistan mein bhi yahi hua hai. So I'll go back to, there were two markets in the world that resembled the dot-com bubble in 2021. One was crypto, and one was frontier market venture capital. Frontier market venture capital, Pakistan's a frontier market. So, and it's not just here, it happened in all these other markets like Egypt, Pakistan, where the potential of these tech industry and startups in this these countries are extremely, extremely high because of the population, the intellect, the type of people that exist, the demand, but everyone overpriced it, right? And so they created a bubble. And so, you know, getting in 2020, we had $50 million. In 2021, $350 million came in.
Mm-hmm.
That clearly is a huge jump, right?
Right.
And so then the subsequent year was down again. And this year is down to like $30 million in the first half. And then the money that just recently came in.
So do you think the $350 million came in, I mean, was it just sentiment? Or was it also a lot of money printing that eventually made its way to कि भाई कहीं तो डालना है, अब सब जगहें फेल हो गई हैं, पाकिस्तान सीम्स लाइक के वॉइड है. तो अगेन वही है ना कि आपने तो आप हेज कर रहे हो अपनी बेट्स, आपने बहुत जगहों पे डाइवर्सिफाई करना है. पाकिस्तान बिकेम वन ऑफ दोज मार्केट्स दैट वाज फेयरली क्लीन और उसमें पैसा पंप हो गया. What was it like, do you think, for a global investor perspective?
So that's a great question. So I think what happened in Pakistan's case is we had such a bad impression because of the whole security paradigm and the war on terror that a lot of people used to think of us as some sort of a rocky, unbuilt type country. I remember I'd get asked when I would be coming from the this was in the peak of post 9/11. In 2005, I was traveling to Pakistan. All my friends and colleagues at work were like, hey, do you have to grow a beard when you go back to Pakistan? I'm like, no. I mean, so their perception was basically Afghanistan and Pakistan are the same place. Those are the visuals, right? Obviously, a lot of people didn't think that way. But let's say they take the average investor, right? So they're like, yeah, Pakistan's on our radar. In 2021, in 2020 specifically, what suddenly everybody realized is that, wait a minute, Pakistan is a mini India. It's got the same level of intellect, same demographics, same structure. I mean, the two of us resemble each other, and they've got pretty decent tech talent. So they and a huge market. So they realized that we were overlooking a market, and they were investing in markets like Indonesia, Malaysia, which are good markets, but I still think Pakistan's a better market. I'm a firm believer in it.
Why do you think so? Again, if I look at Indonesia, the fundamentals of the economy, wo fundamentals support zyada Indonesia ko nahi karenge, considering that ہمارے جو کور اکنامک فنڈامنٹلز ہیں وہ انڈونیشیا نے 98 سے فکس کرنا شروع کر دیے تھے, جو کہ آج ہم کہہ رہے ہیں کہ یار اوکے لیٹس بلڈ دا ریلس جس کے اوپر اکانومی کھڑی ہوگی, رائٹ؟ اکانومی لارجلی کلوزڈ اپ رہی ہے, اوورلی ریگولیٹڈ رہی ہے, اس میں سبسڈیز ہو رہی ہیں, لاسز ہو رہے ہیں, انفیشنسی ہے, وہ چیزیں بائی اینڈ لارج انڈونیشیا ٹک دو اسٹیپس ان 98 اینڈ دین ٹک مے بی لائک ٹک 10-15 ایئرس ٹو بلڈ دا ریلز جس کے اوپر آج اسٹارٹ اپ کا کیپٹل کھڑا ہو رہا ہے. واٹ ڈو یو تھنک؟
سو اسٹارٹ اپ کیپٹل از ویری ڈفرنٹ دین ٹریڈیشنل. یس, ریگولیٹری کنسسٹنسی, پالیسی کنسسٹنسی, وچ ویئر ویری بیڈ ایٹ, رائٹ, از امپورٹنٹ. سو دوز ایلیمنٹس, بٹ ٹو بی آنیسٹ, اف یو ٹاک ٹو اینی ون ان مائی انڈسٹری, دا اسٹیٹ بینک اینڈ دی ایس سی سی پی اینڈ دا ریگولیٹرز ہیو بین ایکچولی ریلی جنرس ود دا اسٹارٹ اپ انڈسٹری. دے agreed to allow us to create holdcos for the companies that we invest in, because our issue was that we don't have property, plant and equipment. These aren't brick and mortar assets. So isme IP hoti hai. Wo yahan ke local courts mein phans gaye, wo to somebody can just get a stay and then we have no rights. So investors won't come. So can we put it in a jurisdiction like Singapore or any other foreign jurisdiction where they trust the legal system to enforce IP laws? So they agreed to all this, which is a big, big milestone, right? But so let's take that. So they've been very helpful for us from a regulatory point of view. Now, there's two things that are happening. The brick and mortar economy worldwide is in a deflationary mode. You have to realize that the inflection point is technology is like Pac-Man, eating up every business slowly that's in the real world onto a virtual world. Remember in the previous podcast, I said, look, this is going to happen whether we want it or not, right? It's growth by acquisition, market share. So now if you take away the nation state and every person online is a user, if I'm an Apple or I'm an Amazon, you're an end user. Even when Afghanistan was in its worst position, there was still economic activity there. I think you would agree with me that Pakistan, mein, you haven't seen things shut down that much when I talk about restaurants and people's
personal power. I mean, it's...
Yes, it's down economically.
Anecdotally, you don't even realize it's down. Like, people are still there in the markets. Jo bhi percentage hai, wo ja rahi hai.
And there's a huge black economy. We have to recognize that, right? Now, the question is, from a tech perspective, let's talk about growth numbers, right? From the last 30-40 years in Pakistan until 2020, if you looked at it, or let's say 2015, on average the devaluation was 5% a year if you streamline it, right going forward, especially because all other currencies under pressure. I mean, pound kabhi bura hal hai compared to the dollar, euro kabhi, yen kabhi. Strong dollar hurts everyone. So we've seen 20% plus devaluations in the same when they were raising rates in 2015 to 18. Again, then we saw it again when they started raising rates. So fine, but obviously the US is going to cut again. And I can assure you it's a mathematical certainty. Sometime next year, they're going to cut and print tons of money and we'll have another bull.
Tell me about this cycle then.
I'll finish on the why I'm talking about this. So, jo Pakistan mein, I'll shave off 10%, 15%, let's shave off 20%. Every user that comes online is moving that economic activity that was in the black market or at a brick and mortar.
Right.
And it's coming onto, let's say, a BookMe or a Bag Gallery or a LAM or a Bazaar, right?
Right.
Whether it's B2C, B2B, or a fintech, right? So what's happening there is you're seeing the growth happen here at rates that you got. So if you go from 1 to 10, that's a 10x growth.
Right.
Right. If eventually there comes a saturation point, but out of 250 million people, if a company gets 10 million users, those 10 million users will create $100-200 billion worth of value. And so that's how you have to look at it. This is not like software export. Yes, I get that resource scarcity component that they would come from. There's enough resources in Pakistan. You can find, if you pay well enough, you can get good resource talent. It's just that people don't want to pay well enough. They want to extract the margin for themselves. That's the difference. In startups, we're actually backing those resources with money. So their heart is in building a business that they own. We're minority investors, and that's why they'll succeed. So, and they're capturing that informal economy or the consumer that's leaving the brick and mortar world to go online because of efficiency, right? So it's a lot easier to press a button and have groceries delivered to your door versus getting in a car with fuel so expensive and then buying groceries, picking it. You can just do it on SKU, especially in a country where most families have only one car and the husband leaves for the office with that car. So a lot of women are the actual consumers in that scenario. Right. So I'm just giving you, there's lots of behavior patterns I can go on about, but the potential is immense.
Agar main aapse ye poochun, dekhen aap is time ke upar, you're really rewriting the sentiment. Kyunki sentiment abhi aap keh rahe hain ki wo June mein bottom kiya hai, wo anecdotally wo sentiment change hota nahi nazar aa raha. Pakistani despondent hai. Pakistani keh raha hai ki yaar nikalne ki karo kisi tarike se, warna yahan rahege to tabahi hi machegi. राइट उसमें जाहिर है उसके पॉलिटिकल फैक्टर्स हैं और चीज़ें हैं कि जिसकी वजह से इमोशंस राइल अप हुए हैं. बट अगर मैं एक ऑब्जेक्टिव एनालिसिस करूं तो टू बी वेरी ऑनेस्ट, इस वक्त ये अनाउंसमेंट लोग सिनिसिज्म से देख रहे हैं कि यार ये, एंड फॉर गुड रीजन, राइट? सो दे बिलीव्ड व्हेन लेट्स से द एयर लिफ्ट अनाउंसमेंट केम इन, तो उनको अगला ये बताया जा रहा था कि यार अब ये जो 85 मिलियन है ये अब 350 में कल्मिनेट करने लगा और हमारी पहली यूनिकॉर्न आने वाली है, राइट? सो वो ये कह रहे हैं कि इज इट द टेल एंड ऑफ द बबल. डिफरेंस है ना, एक ही कह रहा है कि यार नहीं बबल खत्म, फट गया और अब हम वापस रीस्टार्ट कर रहे हैं. दूसरा ये कह रहा है कि अच्छा जी अब वो पंप का भी फाइनल पंप आके ये अनाउंसमेंट आई है, राइट? व्हाट मेक्स यू, और कोई तो एनालिसिस होगा जिसकी बेसिस पे आप ये कह रहे हैं कि नहीं यार मुझे लग रहा है सब डाउन है, सब कुछ जो है वो कुछ बेहतर होता नजर नहीं आ रहा, बट मेरा एक बिलीफ है कि नहीं नहीं 12 महीने बाद ये बेहतर होगा और 24 महीने बाद ये उससे भी बेहतर होगा. सो व्हाट आर योर थॉट्स ऑन दैट?
सो लेट्स अनपैक दिस इन टू सेगमेंट्स,
राइट?
आई विल टॉक अबाउट एयरलिफ्ट एंड दैट कंपोनेंट, राइट? रिमेंबर आई यूज्ड द वर्ड बबल. सो देयर वाज pets.com, देयर वाज FTX इन द US, देयर वाज Theranos,
राइट?
सो एयरलिफ्ट वाज अ पंप एंड डंप.
Right.
I won't go into that. I don't like denigrating any business. I think it was a decent business, but they applied a methodology which is called blitz scaling that works with free money. It does not work in countries like Pakistan. So, you know, this is a lesson that international investors learned as well, that don't just FOMO into a deal that doesn't make any sense based on what your recollection is from your market. Analyze it for the local market. So, and that was quintessentially exactly what a bubble is, that basically a hyped company without anyone doing detailed due diligence basically decided to keep backing and writing checks, and they just created a bubble, right? Just like agar property ki files jab trade hoti hain, they go up parabolically high until they don't, and then the last buyer is hit. So that was, and so I had gone bearish, remember, as I mentioned, bearish means I had gone negative as early as Jan 2022. It's, by the way, it's very difficult to also go negative. They don't believe that they're saying, what are you talking about? Everything is looking so good. Why are you saying in like the next 24 months are so bad?
Yeah.
So similarly, what I'm saying now is that the next 24 months, when you look back in 24 months, and again, I said this back in June, which was the worst time to say this, but you can sense it when typically when everyone around you has gone negative on something, that is usually the time which is the bottom of the market by definition, because now you can't find any person that is positive. And then when we look back in 24 months, by default, it's just the nature of a cycle.
Yeah.
Whatever goes up can't go infinitely go up forever. Whatever goes down can't infinitely go down forever, right? So case in point would be Sri Lanka. We didn't default. We effectively defaulted. But we didn't default, right? Sri Lanka defaulted. There was mayhem, everything. What's their rate now? They've cut their rates to 16%. Currency stabilized, right? So, world cup, wahan pe Asia Cup bhi ho raha tha, right? Dunia khatam to nahi ho gayi. So, it looks like it's the abyss.
Right.
But that's usually the time when you want to start buying if you're a smart investor. So what you've just seen happen, this is pittance in the startup world, the amount of money that just has come in to Pakistan.
Right.
And this is not just today, it's been in the works for like all throughout this period that this raise has been happening. When you look at it, and I'm talking about for everyone from Crave Mart to Postex to Habal, Edufy, and then obviously BookMe. These are the five deals that have raised, and others have raised as well. They'll announce it next year. But this is basically smarter investors coming in, building a position where they feel it's like buying, let's say, property, right? You want to come in and identify what the best location property is. So one, it's a validation that these companies are strong, stable. Number two, they're getting a deal because they know what's coming up in 24 months. When you're a large multi-billion dollar company and a global leader in the third largest industry, which is travel, you don't come in and make a bet without doing your analysis. And I can assure you they did deep dive analysis. It was an analysis on me, discussions with me, analysis on Fazan, the company inside out. They turned it, you know, every which way you can. And their consensus is they're bullish on Pakistan. So that's why the money's come in. And so it's not, I wouldn't say this is a bubble. Usually this is the start of a new cycle.
Okay. Bubbles generally towards the end of the cycle.
Yes.
Emerge kar rahe hote hain. Aapne kaha 24 months mein, they're seeing something in 24 months. What does that look like?
So look,
what's the difference here? Aapne rate cuts ki thodi si baat ki, but I'm sure most people wouldn't have understood that. So thoda sa usko agar expand kar sakein ki globally kya aisa hota hai jisse directly Pakistan ko impact pada hota hai.
Okay. So look, the world was very different. Let's take the world slowly, right? With each crisis, and I'm talking about developed market crises. So with each crisis, the world is becoming closer together because since 1971, we've been on this new system where the dollar delinked from the gold and we went effectively on a petrodollar, the debt-backed dollar, where the 10-year treasury replaced gold, U.S. Bond.
Yeah.
Wahan pe, if you look at it gradually, the crisis, there's a crisis coming almost every 7 to 10 years. And every time, 7 to 10 years, usually because credit borrowers aapke ran out in that peak of that cycle, and then new economies were brought online and lent to. And then people, if countries, sovereign, corporates, and then eventually consumers. So as we look at these cycles and we move closer and closer, especially when you look at 2008, Pakistan didn't really feel much of an effect.
Yeah.
It was the worst crisis because we weren't really that linked to the global economy. We were partially, the couple of banks blew up here and there and some things happened, but it wasn't that bad. We front ran it by a couple of years where you saw like a bit of a downturn in 2006 and 7 and a political crisis. Like always we have one in the form of a political crisis, but the economy didn't feel it. In 2019, we felt it. Now we're feeling it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because basically our own sovereign debt level has skyrocketed since then.
What does that mean, sovereign debt level?
Sovereign debt level in the sense that the country, so if you think about it, the total debt, I forget the number in dollars, it was in rupees. From 1947 to 2008, the total debt of Pakistan was 6,000 billion rupees.
Right.
From 2008, to 2018, we took on another 24,000 billion. So now do the math on 30,000 billion and the compounding interest and are linked to interest rate when interest rates go up. And we have to raise interest rates, but our debt, a lot of our debt is domestic and then it's foreign. So aapki interest payment bhi upar ja rahi hai na?
Right.
So then you become linked to the global debt-based financial system. So now looking at Pakistan's macros alone and not looking at the most powerful central bank. I mean, at the end, we keep talking about dollar, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's the US Federal Reserve. When they raise rates, they're pulling dollars out of the system. That means there's a dollar scarcity, and that means dollar gets strong. And then countries like Pakistan start to, you know, shake. Because we're net importers of energy, so we need dollars. Our exports are not that great. Like in terms of our consumption, right? So similarly, when rates are, and so obviously risk appetite goes down because if I'm an investor in the US, so let's say I'm going to invest in my fund, VC fund, a lot of my investors are foreign. You can say, look, mujhe 5% mil rahe hain US mein, isse bond mein, risk-free park karne mein, toh main pagal hoon ki main is waqt risk loon Pakistan mein jahan bhi devaluation ho rahi hai, toh investors disappear. And therefore, the incremental capital disappears. Jab wo rates cut karke zero pe laayenge dobara, which I don't think they're going to bring to zero, they're going to cut far slower. But because they printed so much money, the effect is going to be like near zero. But well, that's a separate debate. But let's say when they cut, now I'm not getting 5% on the bond. I'm getting, let's say, 3.5%. Or inflation suddenly vapas aa gayi aur wo 6% hai, so I'm actually losing money. So ab main kahunga, yaar, ab to beat inflation, I need to take some risk. So let's say I have $100,000, just to make it even. And usually investors have a lot more because they're putting minimum of like $500,000 to $1 million in these funds.
Right. But
let's say I have $100,000. So what I'd say is, okay, I'm going to put 10% in very risky, high return type things to kind of beat inflation, to balance the portfolio. Let me put some in VC, let me put some in private equity. The real high risk ones will put some in Bitcoin, and then they'll put some, then they'll put money in some, leave some in bonds. Let's say you leave 20 to 30,000 in bonds. And then you take a chunk and you go risk on into the US stock market and more developed market stock markets, right? And maybe some US investments in tech, private late stage tech. So that's an ideal portfolio. When the rates come down, you have to do that to beat inflation. But when rates are high, you don't need to beat inflation. I mean, you're still in the real world, you're technically still getting debased. But in when I say real world, if you actually analyze how bad things are from a food energy point of view, but 5% rates in a world that looks unstable in US dollar denominated basis, that's not bad. For every $1 million, you're making $50,000 risk free. So that creates a liquidity constraints in countries like Pakistan. I hope that makes sense.
It's yeah. So, aapne kaha ke next year, early next year, you expect the US Fed to cut rates.
Look, there's going to be
what
some...
What is that understand?
Kis basis ke upar aapne? So look, inhone jab rates ko raise kiya hai, March 2022 se leke, abhi tak, they stopped, paused in July, which by the way, I predicted in early that they will... pause. Everybody was thinking they're going to keep raising rates. The system is now shaking. I mean, having it at 5.25 to 5.5% range, when everybody's used to near zero, which was like a drug, free money aapko mil raha hai, the system is shaking. So think about all those corporate buildings and skyscrapers that have been sitting on massive borrowings and priced in IRRs that don't exist because COVID ke baad people don't want to show up at work.
So essentially, ya to collapse hoga agar wo nahi.
So this is a commercial real estate crisis coming. Ab uska matlab kya hai? Uska matlab ye hai ki basically a lot of banks are exposed to commercial real estate because they were the ones that lent out, right?
Right.
So end game iska kya hai? End game ye hai ki they're not going to let the collapse happen.
Yeah.
They're going to bail it out. And the bailout comes in the form of printing. So they'll do quantitative easing, they'll call it something else, but quantitative easing is you start buying treasuries from the market to kind of effectively create liquidity. And then you also basically cut rates at the same time, which is like basically a printing press, so liquidity flushes the market. Abhi liquidity is fucked. As of last week, last month or so, liquidity started drying up from the system, and they're slowly now starting to pump it back in.
Interesting. Aapki abhi jo hui hai, अनाउंसमेंट्स उसमें कोई फिनटेक भी है?
यस, थ्री ऑफ देम आर फिनटेक्स.
क्या क्या, व्हाट व्हाट एरियाज डू दे वर्क?
एजुफाई डज एजुकेशनल, इट्स एन एजुकेशनल बेस्ड फिनटेक, सो इट्स नॉट लाइक योर के थ्रू 12. लेट्स से इट्स वेरी सिंपल, इट्स ऑलवेज लिंक्ड टू रियलिटी, राइट, ऑफ द रियल वर्ल्ड प्रॉब्लम्स. सो आई हैव अ चाइल्ड गोइंग टू यूनिवर्सिटी, whether it's LUMS, whether it's a medical college, whether it's engineering college. In countries like South Asia, sending children to college is effectively like your 401k or your retirement. We take care of our parents, right?
Right.
So the people put their life savings. Is debasement ke baad, jo pichle 2 saal mein hui hai, most people cannot struggle from middle income family to come up with a first semester fee deposit of 20 lakh rupees or 15 lakhs. So what Edufy does, it goes and basically... goes to the university, ties up with them. Uske piche, by the way, Adelphi ka scoring engine laga hai,
right?
Which is the AI based credit scoring engine, and it says, okay, XY University, you know, you need a bunch of your students that have gotten in need financing. Can we collateralize this against the degree? The meaning that wo jo pay karenge, we'll give them the loan, but the degree cannot be issued to them if they default on the loan.
Right.
And then you assess, you give a percentage of the loan, but it helps people achieve the South Asian dream, right? Every parent wants their child to go into higher education. So it's a massive market. The TAM is huge. The default rates are generally low in this market in the all over the world. That's the mapping we're doing. So this is one of the companies.
Very exciting.
And the founders, and she's one of the smartest female founders I've met. She went to MIT, worked at Ventura Capital in late stage VC, gave up everything and moved to Pakistan 2 years ago to believe in this. She really believes in this particular model and has been building and learning the market.
Is she based out of Karachi or?
Lahore.
Lahore. I would love to get connected. Would love have a detailed understanding of what she's doing. Aur baki kaun si?
Then Hubal. Hubal is probably the best kept secret in Pakistan. I think after BookMe, and I've loved Postex and all these other companies, but one of the most excited companies I'm bought in Pakistan. They're doing, I'd say, trillions of rupees worth of transactions.
They're doing trillions of rupees.
So this is not your traditional startup. You know, when people say startups won't work, that's because they keep, you know, when you only look at headlines, sometimes you miss the reality, right? Of what's happening. So people are doing lots of interesting things. So it started off with a state bank grant, which is basically an IFC grant for the state bank, given to the state bank to digitize the supply chain in Pakistan. So Umar Ehsan, who's a really hard working tech guy, senior guy, he understands technology from every facet. And a good business sense, won the grant and basically created a platform which is very simple, which is like Coca-Cola, Pepsi, all the FMCGs settling with their resellers and distributors digitally. So stuff that would end up in cash in vaults basically is been brought onto a digital system, and then he's launched a separate product on top of that, which basically you can lend to your entire supply chain. So corporate would come in, basically get invoice factoring and lend to their entire supply chain.
How different is this to, let's say, the sort of visions that Bazaar had, or there's this other one, Retailo, and a lot of these people jo ke ground up start karne ke hi koshish kar rahe the ki main digitize karna hai supply chain ko aur usme lending dalni.
So they're doing this. There's two ways to tackle the problem, right? So it's very common that early stage markets mein you look at it both ways, right? So what Bazaar is doing is basically, again, they're a digital distributor, but they're also going to the retailer and using the seasonality and pattern and capturing the data.
Right.
In Hubal's case, they're right now just stuck at which they feel is a massive opportunity, is the settlement between distributors and resellers and back to the FMCG.
Aur usko cash utha rahe hai.
Retail wala jo part hai, wo jo reseller uthata hai, to wo cash jo tha, wo usko ab digitally karta hai.
Sahi hai.
So it's the transaction size are massive, right?
Right.
In Bazaar's case, they're capturing the retailer entirely and getting that data to eventually lend to the retailer. I mean, eventually the two would plug in into a system, right? Look, it's like a $250 billion economy that we're talking about in this B2B sector. So wahan pe agar aapne, if you think of it like from military strategy, you're sending different brigades, right? So Bazaar is more like a core right now, and this is another core coming and capturing that black economy.
Makes sense.
The idea is to capture collectively somewhere around 10 to 15 billion to create that 700 million to $1 billion.
Makes sense. And to be very honest, one of the reasons why I asked you this question was, Kareem, our next question was going to be about black economy. Pakistan mein is waqt log bahut zyada keh rahe hain ki yaar, there's too much cash in the system and not enough in the pockets of the government. And that's potentially going to create a lot of mess. Until and unless aap ya to jo black ka faltu ka paisa hai, उसको आप जिसके में हमने देखा रिसेंटली रेट्स भी हुई मरी रोड के ऊपर, जिस बेसमेंट से बिलियंस ऑफ रुपीस निकल रहे हैं. एक तरीका कार ये है कि जी आप डिजिटाइज कर लें और फिर उसको, क्योंकि बेसिकली हमारे टैक्सेस ऑन पेपर एग्जिस्ट करते हैं बट पीपल आर नॉट पेइंग दोज टैक्सेस, राइट?
बिकॉज वो हम डॉक्यूमेंट नहीं किया,
वो डॉक्यूमेंट नहीं किया हुआ, एंड हमें कोई आइडिया नहीं है कि कौन. हम नॉर्मली देखते हैं कि वो सूट वाला बंदा है तो वो टैक्स देने वाला है, तो उसके पीछे जाते हैं और उसमें फिर आपके जॉब पेशा लोग आ जाते हैं और कॉर्पोरेट्स आ जाती हैं. बट एक्चुअली बहुत बड़ी इकोनॉमी है जो कि वो दाढ़ी रख के एक सिंपल सा बंदा नैपकिन टांग के बिलियनर्स बैठे हैं, लिबर्टी में बैठे हैं या वो जोरिया बाजार में बैठे हुए हैं और वो यू नो कर रहे हैं. तो अनटिल एंड अनलेस उनकी ट्रांजैक्शंस डिजिटाइज होंगी, तो आपने इस तरह कहा ना कि कोका कोला है और ये है वो है, तो कॉर्पोरेट फर्दर कॉर्पोरेट करता है, कॉर्पोरेट मोस्टली कंप्लायंट ही होता है. मेरे लिए जनरली क्वेश्चन आता है, वो आता है जो आपकी जो ट्रूली ब्लैक मार्केट है, जो कि बाय डिज़ाइन लाइक वो बड़े स्मार्ट हैं, वो इस वजह से नहीं है कि वो पुराने हैं, वो नए सिस्टम्स पे नहीं आते, दे नो द गेम, राइट? एंड सो तो इसके ऊपर बड़ी आजकल डिबेट चलना शुरू हुई. एक पॉइंट पर उन्होंने कहा कि यार 5,000 का नोट डिमोनेटाइज करें ताकि लोगों को पिंच हो कि यार अब मुझे कैश ट्रांजेक्शन, क्योंकि इन्फ्लेशन हो रही है, प्राइस ऑफ गुड्स बढ़ रही है, तो जब आपने ट्रांजेक्शन साइज बढ़ते जाना है और आपके पास अब 5,000 हट गया है तो लॉजिस्टिकली इम्पॉसिबल होना शुरू हो जाएगा कैश मूवमेंट्स एंड सो ऑन. या ऑब्वियसली आपको मैसिव रेडिकल रिफॉर्म्स करें, जिससे टू बी वेरी ऑनेस्ट दैट सीम्स लाइक अ पाइप ड्रीम एट दिस पॉइंट इन टाइम. इट्स आल्सो वेरी डिफिकल्ट कि बहुत कोई मैसिव रिफॉर्म किया, क्योंकि उसके लिए आपको एक सोशल कॉन्ट्रैक्ट भी चाहिए, आपको एज अ नेशन पूरे अपने आप को फिक्स करना है, जो कि इतना ईजी होता हुआ नजर नहीं आ रहा. सो उसमें फिर आप एक सॉर्ट ऑफ शॉक वाला कुछ वो करते हैं कि डिमोनिटाइज कर लें, ये कर लें, वो कर लें. इन द कॉन्टेक्स्ट ऑफ स्टार्टअप्स, पर्टिकुलरली इन फिनटेक, what do you think, what can you imagine that could really truly ke jahan par fintechs aided by government policy can truly support this sort of initiative that we need now? ab hamare paas choice nahi hai, you know, it's not nice to have, we know that we need to have those reforms, and if we do have those reforms there is a very potentially bright future for us.
Yes.
But usme wo masla yahi aa jata hai ki jab main agar wallets walon se baat karun ya main easy paisa type se baat karun to wo kehte hain ki you know people just आप उसको जितना भी कर लें, इफ इट कॉस्ट्स मोर टू डू अ डिजिटल ट्रांजैक्शन, इट विल नेवर हैपन. इफ देयर इज अ टैक्स वाला प्रॉब्लम तो इट्स नेवर गोइंग टू हैपन. आप जितना भी चेंज कर लें, कंज्यूमर बिहेवियर विल ऑलवेज बी इंसेंटिवाइज्ड बाय व्हाट्स चीपर, व्हाट्स मोर कन्वीनियंट, सो ऑन एंड सो फोर्थ. यू नो, नॉवल्टी पे वो जनरली नहीं जाता. तो व्हाट आर योर थॉट्स ऑन?
लुक, सो इट्स It just comes on the pace of adoption, right? And so what we're ultimately doing is pricing in the pace of adoption. So let's take tech. Again, take the software development and that outsourcing element. That's a whole amazing industry, separate industry.
Right.
This is use cases that are capturing the economy. Even in the developed world, either they're capturing the brick and mortar economy, which is fully documented. In Pakistan, they're capturing the brick and mortar economy. That is probably 30% documented. The other segment is not documented, right? But a user's the user, just like a buyer. If they show up, and I don't see Colgate complaining or McDonald's complaining if a buyer comes from the black economy, it has economic consequences, right?
Right.
So from my selfish perspective, the digital adoption rate of transactions in Pakistan is near 10% a year, which is pretty great, because 10% a year for that size, let's assume that 300 billion is the documented economy and 70%, so another 700 billion is the undocumented economy. So you can do the number, it's pretty substantial, right? Even if, let's say, it's only happening at the tune of like $3 billion a year.
Right.
So that's going to happen. That'll take its...
without any intervention, it's going
to happen. It's going to happen because it's just efficiency, right? That's like saying that WhatsApp log use nahi karenge. We're still picking up phones on PTA and calling each other on the rotary phone.
Yeah.
Or even what happened to cellular companies, right? At the end of the day, unka data is now their number one selling component versus minutes. Ek zamane minutes hota
tha. Aur wo one way or the other, as e-commerce becomes big, wo as seth ka beta aata hai aur wo kehta hai ki yaar main England mein ye dekh kar aaya hu, to hame kahin na kahin se wo digital payments integrate ho hi rahi hain, one way or the other.
Even seth ko agar chhod dein, right, aap mujhe bata dein ki how many people do you know that are staff in urban Pakistan, whether it's domestic staff, ghar mein aapke agar driver hai, koi bhi chowkidar hai. I think a fair chunk of them are using Easy Paisa, Jazz
Cash. The change has happened. Last one year, I'll be honest, I had domestic staff, and then I had hired people for office work as well. 2019 se maine hire kiya tha, 2019 se 2022 tak ek constant khap hoti thi hamesha na, mujhe cash mahine ke aakhir mein cash nikalna padta tha, jo bilkul aapka blue collar worker hai usko aapko cash hi dena padta tha. To 2022 mein सबके अकाउंट्स खुले,
एग्जैक्टली
सबके इजी पैसा या अकाउंट होगा या इजी पैसा होगा. मेरा जो पेरोल रन होना शुरू हुआ उसमें मेरा डोमेस्टिक स्टाफ भी आ गया. मोर इम्पॉर्टेंटली, मेरा जो घर पे कैश ऑन डिलीवरी बड़ा प्रॉब्लम पेन पॉइंट होता था, कैश ऑन डिलीवरी आना शुरू हुआ. मैंने कहा यार नहीं है कैश पे. मैंने एक दफ़ा उससे पूछा, मैंने कहा यार मुझे ज़रा बताओ, उससे कहो ईजी पैसा ले ले. कहा हाँ वो तो सिस्टम है, ईजी पैसा होना शुरू हो गए. जहाँ मैं, और ये मैं आपको कल की मिसाल देता हूँ, वाज़ एट अ रेस्टोरेंट, यम चाइनीज़ इन F7. And I just randomly gone there, my son pooped and I didn't have a pamper backup. तो मैंने, और मेरे पास कैश कोई नहीं था, तो मैं गया मार्केट में लोकल करियाने की दुकानों में. मैं अब सर पकड़ के बैठा हुआ था कि यार अब मुझे ये कहेगा गाड़ी पकड़ और ATM जा F7 मार्कस. उसने कहा जी कैश. मैंने कहा कैश तो नहीं है, क्या ऑप्शन है? क्रेडिट कार्ड. उसने कहा क्रेडिट कार्ड तो नहीं है. मैंने कहा सर इजी पैसा है. उसने कार्ड निकाला, कार्ड आगे किया, वो एक सामने उसने रखा हुआ था जी, और वो हो गया. एंड फॉर मी, मेरी हिस्टोरिकल ट्रॉमा टोल्ड मी कि यार मुजम्मिल अब फंसने लगा है यहाँ पर, ये जो पाकिस्तान की ये मसाइल, बट वो सोल्यूशन आ चुका हुआ था. आई डू सी दैट अडॉप्शन हैपनिंग.
सो लुक, आई एम सीइंग दिस इन नया पे, the growth rates have been astronomical, right?
Right.
So there's a part of the economy that they're saying, you know, that's just an excuse because people don't want to be documented, at least from a B2C level. And even in Habal, I'm seeing from B2B level, there's no resistance. It's coming from sometimes the retail side, which is some segments of the country, but quietly wo ho raha hai.
Hmm. Right? Aur demand consumer se aana shuru ho rahi hai yaar bhai easy paisa le lo na
eventually toh. QR code aayega QR code ek standardized aisi step se bank karega wo phir logon ko ek bar aadat pad gayi to just like you and I are not used to cash main bhi cards pay karta hu zyada right to merchants are gonna
QR code is the credit card of the masses essentially
exactly
right
because you have a plastic cards are not gonna work
yeah.
The fees and all QR codes is like it's also remember,
usme, I think
terminals aapko nahi dalen terminals ek ek terminal $150
cost of infrastructure is the bottom neck over there but question mera usme again dekhen I agree with you long term mein this is going to happen irrespective my question was how do you accelerate that is there a potential to accelerate
so that's the component when I talk about demonetization right so agar ya to hum sar pakad ke baithe rahe and we keep saying yaar wo let's go in and you know let's do structural reforms and that's going to take 5 to 10 years right and then get all the rent seeking corporates off their subsidies. I mean, har banda the subsidies ke upar chala raha hai business and making profits, right? I mean, you can barely find any that aren't actually either getting a gas subsidy or this subsidy. So they're not really businesses that will sustain without the government support. And that's not how business is supposed to be, right? So now let's come to the actual acceleration. That's exactly what India did. Let's look at I keep giving that example as a comparable. We're very similar. We were both a former British colony. The British built our systems.
Yeah.
And so wahan pe sari cheeze and then sub South Asian hai to unke bhi wahi behavior patterns hain. The wahan pe bhi utni corruption jitni hamari hai by the way. It's just that because right now they've over the years built better systems so they look visually better and the world needs them right now.
Right.
So you know the headlines are all India but the reality is very similar to us. It just took the will. Once Modi demonetized the rupee, and it was very simple. Unhone demonetization mein kya kiya? It's not easy because there's a lot of pressure because a lot of the people with cash are also part of the system.
Yeah, or a lot of very powerful people with cash. Yeah. So generally, uske upar uski jo opposition hoti hai, that's
so you had to build consensus, right? So so typically these type when he did it, I'm not a fan of Modi per se, but I remember in 2016 when I said it, a lot of people like, oh, he's never going to get elected. And I said, dude, he's going to go down in history as the next big leader after Nehru, in the sense that what he's done for India, and I'll tell you the numbers. India was 30% banked back then in 2016. Mm. By 2019-2021, they're almost 70-80% banked, right?
In five years,
right? Because unhone kiya kya? Aapne kiya ye ki aapne kaha ki yaar plastic ke hum jo purane note hain inko hum hata rahe plastic ke note jo hain wo jo European wale that rip less and they're more durable. Yeah. We're going to introduce that currency and from XYZ 6 months out, let's say January 1st, all the old notes are no longer legal tender.
Right.
So in circulation, you know, they will not be accepted.
Right. So jisne dabaya hua hai paisa wo to
now check out what the attributes for that was. The key was, and again, there's a lag effect, right?
Right.
At that time, India was 50% smartphone adoption, almost 40-50%. So you also need smartphone adoption because the plan was to not bring the new currency as much in circulation and force people to download wallets, which is what Ambani was waiting for, right? With his data, free data. So so basically, fast forward to us.
Right.
Roughly 241 million people, data connections, I think somewhere around 80 to 90 million. Urban Pakistan mein kaafi pervasive hai. So now if today you were to demonetize in Pakistan, the crisis would be a lot less versus if you tried to do this 3 years ago.
Right.
2 years from now, it would even be easier, right? So it's very simple at the consumer level, which is what they did. They didn't do it at their state level. Obviously, all government departments got the cash. But believe it or not, even FBR, you have to still deposit. It's easier if you deposit cash for your taxes versus if you try to do it digitally. Wo credit match nahi hota for months. Then you have to chase it yourself, right? So it's very strange. Wo receipt jo milti hai. So putting that aside, once he did this, people had no cash. So now if you want to eat, you want to buy anything, they eventually ended up learned how to, necessity breeds adoption. They learned how to download a wallet. Obviously, shuru mein to galiyan usko bahut padi thi, right? But up suddenly, he's the supreme leader.
Yeah.
And more than likely, he'll get elected in April again.
Yeah.
But India is now what? The fifth largest economy in the world. They've disrupted the UK. I mean, think of it this way. the UK was the country that ruled over South Asia and the world. And we gained independence from them. And India has disrupted the UK to become the fifth largest economy in the world. And Pakistan has the same potential. We are comfortably, if we demonetize, we will accelerate that process. If we don't demonetize, you'll see that value showing up in the form of what they term as tech and startups. What everybody terms as startups. Hmm. These won't remain startups for too long. I can tell you, most of the companies that I invested in 2021 that are doing well, their top lines would be astonishing for you if I tell you what they are. Some companies that are 20 months old are doing, these aren't fake top lines. This is called digital growth. Are doing upwards of $300 million of top lines, right? Bottom lines, you unki healthy hai. These are not negative unit economic companies. Other ones that are doing wallet adoption are very comfortably touching $1 billion in transactions, multiple billion dollars. So these growth rates is that if you create a product that the market needs and the user needs, they'll adopt it. That's it. So this is now, in my opinion, true leaders emerge. And it's just not just my portfolio. This is all of us have invested in good companies. So you'll see leads from others. I just don't want to name the companies because I don't want to single anyone out. It's also confidentiality. But I'm very bullish, and the world knows it. The world knows that over the next decade, it's just a matter of time, right? So it would be like saying I'm as certain as if we went back in time and we had a discussion, let's say 10 years ago. And by the way, when I did say this to a lot of my friends in 10 years ago that were owned media channels, that guys, you're in trouble. YouTube and online is going to disrupt you. They would just look at me like, what are you saying?
Yeah.
And nobody believed me at that time. So obviously you can see right now that linear satellite and cable say majority of the eyeballs have shifted either to YouTube or some online medium, whether it's TikTok or Instagram or Netflix for the more affluent in Pakistan. So similarly, the same thing happened with long distance, right? AT&T, PTCL, everybody was relying on long distance revenue, which would be people calling US and Canada and countries abroad and paying significant chunks of money to do it. And what happened? It's being done on Zoom and Skype and WhatsApp primarily, right? Or Botim for Dubai.
Yeah.
So my point is that when something is different and technology is more efficient, it's not, shuru mein people don't necessarily understand the adoption rate. It is way more convenient to basically go out and rather than having change, is just to do a QR code and make a payment instantaneously. And especially when the bulk of your economy in this country is does not actually offline because it wants to be offline. When I say offline, meaning even the financialized system, jo current documentation kehte hain, it's paper-based, right? Because most banks don't want to cater to people below a certain income threshold, unki cost hai, brick and mortar ki.
Right.
So agar, you know, someone is not doing deposits, minimum deposits on a monthly basis of at least 50, it used to be 50,000, now it might be 100,000 rupees given the devaluation. The point is ki unki jo brick and mortar branch maintenance cost hai, it makes no sense for them to maintain this account. So that's why, for example, a lot of the domestic staff or employees in companies, for them, a lot of people I know, like we have staff in our house that is getting their accounts opened through our company account.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like in terms, because it's easier for them as employees because we disperse the payroll for them there. So this is a fact. So most people don't want to be a part of this system. They're too intimidated by the banks to go and open an account. And that's why EasyPaisa, JazzCash, NeaPay, SadaPay, all these platforms are being adopted so quickly because they do easy level 1 and level 2 KYC. Just mein aapke large transactions nahi hai. Lekin aapne unko onboard kiya, kuch information li, tasveer khichwa li.
Aur intimidating bhi nahi hai na.
Aap jaate hain, aapne khud kar liya.
Jaise hi enter karte hain, to aapko ek tension ho rahi hoti hai ki yaar, I look different, I speak different, exactly. The branch manager or whoever is going to talk to me differently. Do you think in terms of demonetization, I've been hearing that particularly in the last couple of months from very serious analysts, jo ki ab increasingly usko support kar rahe hain. Do you think there is within the policymaker circle a serious, at the very least, debate ke yaar, should we or should we not demonetize, ya demonetization dur dur tak nahi hai kisi ke radar pe?
So I'm in the camp that I don't think they're going to do it yet.
Okay.
Right. So the reason why is because the danda nahi aaya isi tarah, FATF se aur baki the global thing. It's very difficult, I think, when you're at the helm of affairs to take actions which could turn the whole system against you. Remember, a lot of very powerful people have a lot of physical cash that's offline.
Yeah.
And so, especially when a new system comes into play, which I'm hopeful is going to do restructuring, it's not easy to take these steps. I've seen these in previous cycles when the General Musharraf era, when he took over, he generally wanted to basically privatize PIA. It was even in trouble back then.
Yeah.
Wanted to privatize all the state-owned enterprises. And
theoretically, he came in all powerful, right?
So yeah, but within the second you did it, there was a huge uproar in the system. So it was either you stick around or you go. Right. So I would say that, you know, I mean, again, I don't have inside knowledge on this, but I would say that, look, it's not the right time right now. There's too many other issues. And if they open up this front, which could have political, already there's a lot of tension, right?
Right.
Do demonetize. It's not the government at the time has to take the blame.
Right.
My target is, I believe it's going to happen in 2026.
Okay.
Not this cycle. But be a compulsion by 2026, given the inflationary
cycle. Sort of 2026, interesting. And that's...
There's a pattern here, by the way. 2006, China demonetized, digital payments adopted. 2016, India.
Interesting.
And that 10-year lag, 2026.
Interesting. Agar main aapse puchun, dekhe, ek demonetization hai, jo ke kehti hai ke yaar, moti major, wo kehte na ke 5,000, I'm not sure ye number correct hai, but that's what I remember. In terms of rupee value, 5,000 ka note constitutes 70% of what's floating in the market. Jo demonetization aap imagine kar rahe hain, wo major currency, like high denomination demonetization hogi, ya wo complete demonetization hogi. I mean, aajkal ye bhi badi globally baat ho rahi hai ki ji cash ko bas ab agle within this decade of phase out karenge, aur even US ke andar wo ek naya
that I believe system. But not in Pakistan entirely, but look, adoption can be a lot quicker here, right? But yes,
It's an inefficient form of transacting. So, and obviously for governments themselves, you know, why are you having cash and then not being able to document the economy and coming with lag effect measures? There's also other benefits of demonetization, right?
So right now you have to capture the economy and do predictions on GDP growth in lag effects.
Right.
Because it's all reporting based. Once it all goes digital, in real time, you can see the economic activity down to a house, down
so
to
So you
an
really
individual.
Start to optimize your policy making.
And the velocity of money increases.
But that's my question. Do you think by 2035, if I have $100 note in Pakistan,
I think you'll have a tough time.
Nobody will.
Unless you're in rural, remote area where there's no bandwidth, I think even there by that time it'll be very different. Agar Skylink aa jata hai upar se, Elon Musk's or whatnot. So again, this is speculative.
But do you think governments are coming to a point where they're saying, listen, cash just doesn't work? Ya wo yoga ke nahi theek hai, cash chal raha hai, lekin actually societies jo hain wo digital pe hi chalti hain. Jaisa China hai na, China mein cash chalta hai, theoretically hai, but log kehte hain ji pure shehar cashless hai.
Yeah.
So abhi tak
urban strengths... China mein it's very difficult to pay in cash. So rural areas mein you could...
So अभी तक सेंट्रल बैंक्स ने ये नहीं कहा कि यार यू नो व्हाट हम कैश जीरो हो चुका है, अब सिर्फ डिजिटल करेंसी इज द करेंसी, राइट? मेरा क्वेश्चन ये कि ग्लोबली डू यू थिंक हम ऐसे पॉइंट पे आएंगे जब कैश कंप्लीटली आउट हो चुका होगा?
सो दिस इज माय थीसिस, अगेन इट्स अ थीसिस,
राइट?
इट्स स्पेक्युलेटिव बट let's fast forward, right? So what do I think this entire crisis is about worldwide? It's about the monetary system.
Right.
Our monetary system went insolvent in 2008. It literally went insolvent. The whole system came down. It's not easy for, you know, everyone from JP Morgan to your Bank of America. Everyone was literally down to like on the verge of a collapse. And this was in Europe. The whole contagion spread worldwide. Eventually would have hit Pakistani banks as well. Everyone's on a letter of credit. The outcome was that everybody collectively decided to print money to prop up the system. Wo masla ye ki that if system that went insolvent, what they decided to do was pump it up and then do a controlled demolition of that system. So you pumped a lot of money, it came back up. And when I say came back up, in terms of it was a higher high from when it, where it was and what the previous high was from market's point of view. You use the S&P 500 as a barometer, right, of like returns effectively, right? And the housing prices. But real purchasing power wise, it was never a higher high. It's actually going down because as they're printing, you're having debasement. So you can plot it against gold and see. Gold is fairly static, right? And you'll see it's actually declining. But anyways, they brought it like this. फिर वो करते हैं प्रिंट करते 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 उसके बाद जब इन्फ्लेशन आना शुरू होती है, व्हेन आई से इन्फ्लेशन आई मीन देयर चैनलिंग इन्फ्लेशन इन हाउसिंग स्टॉक्स एंड बॉन्ड्स, पर जो वो खाने में आती है दे पैनिक एंड दे रेज रेट्स,
राइट?
तो वो फिर जैसे ही रेट्स रेज करते हैं मार्केट्स दोबारा नेचुरल गिरना शुरू हो जाती हैं, और फिर वो दोबारा पंप करते हैं रेट्स के, उसके बाद फिर कट करते हैं, सॉरी फिर रेट्स करते हैं तो नीचे आती हैं, फिर कट करते हैं ऊपर जाती हैं, तो ग्रेजुअली एक ग्लाइडिंग पैटर्न में दे ब्रिंगिंग इट डाउन एंड साइमल्टेनियसली दे बिल्डिंग एंड पंपिंग मनी इन द न्यू डिजिटल सिस्टम विच इज़ अल्टीमेटली द सेंट्रल बैंक डिजिटल करेंसीज विल बी अ की कंपोनेंट ऑफ दिस विच मे कल्मिनेट इन टू लेट्स से अ बास्केट ऑफ करेंसीज एट द IMF. विल सी वेयर दिस इवॉल्व्स टू, राइट? And eventually there'll be a digital rupee. Aur ye digital system banta ja raha hai. Now, in order for that, phase one of that digital system is what we're doing. You need the B2C e-commerce platforms. You need right. the B2B e-commerce platforms.
Jo enable karenge.
Enable karenge, right? Uske baad phir fintech aa gayi. Fintech is basically enabling the lending. They're all interlinked. Logistics aa gayi beech mein, right? All these companies basically are capturing your economy from different elements and digitizing them. Once this is all digitized and data is there, then the whole digital payments becomes more ubiquitous, and then eventually lending becomes digital, right? So that's kind of what's happening. So you've got basically the old system, which is coming down in a controlled demolition as central banks are basically printing and trying to prop it up. But they also know this system is basically gradually going to hyperinflation. Even, I mean, the US, by the way, I'm not bearish on the dollar. The US dollar, which is the bedrock of the system, before it evaporates, every currency in the world is going to evaporate because that's the bedrock of the system. And that's what you're seeing playing out in on these like 3.5 to 4 year cycles that where they cut rates, they print. So if you go back and let's analyze this, right? They started raising rates in the US. Those are normally they cut them to near zero. In 2015, they started raising rates to pay back the interest payments on all the money they printed. Then again, they did the same thing in 2020, where they basically cut rates to stimulate. And then again, 2022 May, they started raising interest rates to receive. When they raise rates, they get more money, right?
Right.
In terms of from yields. And then you pay back the debt for the previous 3.5 to 4 years. So that cycle is playing out repeatedly. And it's a controlled demolition in that period and tech is going to
but is aapne kaha ki ek new monetary system aa raha hai, right? ek simple mind ko to ye nazar aa raha hai ki yaar jo cheez cash thi wo digital ho gayi hai, koi structure in the system change nahi hua, koi jis tarah kuch moti moti cheeze jo aajkal aapko nazar aati hai na, log baatein karte hain, log kehte hain yaar $33 trillion ka debt ho chuka hai US ka, abhi last पता नहीं एक महीने के अंदर उन्होंने 2 trillion और ऐड कर लिया है, वो रैंडमली बस वो जब से वो डेट सीलिंग हटी है तो वो आर्बिट्रेरली ऐड हो जा रहा है. और पाकिस्तान में भी अगर हम देखते हैं तो ठीक है, रुपी अगर डिजिटल रुपी हो जाएगा तो ठीक है.
It may reset though, right? Remember, when it resets,
what do you mean by that reset?
Okay, so when a currency starts, it's because it's new, so it starts 1-to-1. If you look at the rupee closer to 1947, it usually starts off because the fresh start, right? So your value is basically 100%. And then gradually compared to other currencies, it starts to debase based on your behavior patterns, like whether you're fiscally responsible or not. That has huge consequences, right? So similarly, once you go from, so current, what you're seeing is digital, but it's not really digital. It's actually analog.
Right.
So digital is, it's happening in the form of online. But the digits you're seeing in the bank are actually more analog in the nature that it's not instantaneous settlement, right? There's lag times.
Right.
What the cryptography or blockchain is, it, that money itself behaves like cash, right? So abhi mujhe pata hai, there's an intermediary third party. So let's say, for example, I know that, for example, when I'm doing NayaPay, the custodian is, whether it's HBL or Ulfala, it's a proper entity. So maine payment kiya. Whether it's I'm using the Visa system or through QR, I could use Alipay or whatever mechanism, right? And the trusted known intermediary is going to settle me.
Right.
So, beshak wo mujhe as a merchant immediately nahi pay kare, but mujhe pata hai Visa baad mein kar dega ya Alipay jo kar dega mujhe.
Right.
Right. They may not even trust NayaPay.
Right.
That intermediary is an analog system. Because PIN be receivable, payable, there's a delay, right? Mm. But when money starts to behave like cash, that's why if you go to a shopkeeper and you say, you know, can I pay with credit cards? or a check. Check to kabhi nahi lega because the trust level is ke might bounce, right? Credit card, they're like, yeah, you know, fine, I'll charge you 2.5% additional jo mujhe charge kare, but I don't like it because it also is a lag and I don't get paid for 10 days.
Right.
They're happy to take cash. Once it goes to cryptography digital, then I don't need the intermediary layer. That's it, it's a digital rupee. When I button the buyer, automatically it's settled with the person, right? So it behaves like cash.
Right.
That is a total different game in terms of what's going to happen downstream, right? The reason why that's a reset is that if you look at stable coins, for example, right? Stable coins technically should be 1-to-1 to the dollar, right? And this is where the dollar is devaluing also. Not against stable coins, but some parts of the world are pricing in by taking stable coins 300 to the dollar, showing you the weakness of the dollar. I'll give you the example of Bitcoin, for example, right? When Bitcoin launched in 2009, it's a very interesting, right? When we had the global financial crisis, it came out literally right after that. Bottom of the market was March 2009. I think Bitcoin was around the same time it came. It was a penny to a dollar. So effectively, you could buy 100 Bitcoin for $1, right? Today, in a crash, it costs you $27,000 to buy one Bitcoin.
Right.
So we think in rupees. So today, we're very upset because they're roughly, 280 rupees right now, 280, 270 to buy $1. And we're like, yeah, just a year ago, it was 150 rupees to buy $1. Now think about what I'm saying. It takes $27,000 to buy one Bitcoin.
Right.
So the dollar is also devaluing. It's just that it's not devaluing against us. We're devaluing against them because they're the base currency. And similarly with gold, it just moves a lot slower. So Bitcoin's moving at tech velocity. Mm. And so it's actually trying to be the replace gold digitally in the new cashless system. And in terms of gold, let's analyze gold. Gold was $200 an ounce in the year 2000. It's key velocity bought slower. But you'll see today, gold is sitting at roughly $1,800 to $2,000. That's still a 10x devaluation of the dollar from 2000 to now.
Hmm.
So I'm trying to explain is that we benchmark things in our mind, but we don't analyze that the dollar is devaluing as well.
Hmm.
Right? Because we're measuring ourselves in the dollar, but what are you measuring the dollar in? And so that dichotomy is what's playing out. The US is going to have to create a digital dollar at some point. I think it's called FedNow. That's what the digital dollar is. Once they launch that, the first day it'll be 1-to-1. The analog dollar and the digital dollar.
Right.
Then it's like basically the last one out of here.
Or
it'll keep going up in value.
You think your FedNow, for example, like ek hota na aapka finite currency hoti hai, agar hum cryptocurrencies ki baat karein, are all cryptocurrencies finite?
No.
There are some jokes arbitrarily.
A lot of people don't realize that. So Bitcoin is capped at 21 million, right?
Right.
So it's very difficult to basically, I mean, eventually probably you can, but at least for now you can't, right? You can't create more than 21.
So CBDCs, will they be capped as well, do you think? Or do you think, can you potentially print CBDCs?
Of course you can, because that's the whole difference. So it's like basically like Ripple, right? Ripple has a very limited cap. You can keep coming with more Ripple. If I were to analyze CBDCs, it's going to be the same system. It's just that you're basically demolishing this system and you start a new system, present it as the same system, and value disappears. So it's all about like value. So it's just credits, right?
So for example, 33 trillion ka jo debt hai, usko write off nahi karenge, wo lekin itni devaluation ho chuki hogi ki usko wo pay off kar denge aur wo
bas... nahi currency mein, no? It's just about, look, a currency is worth only something when you as an individual and the collective community around you is willing to accept it.
Right.
If the rupee is going to deflate away, and let's say a bag of a cup of tea becomes 5,000 rupees,
right,
everyone's going to want to get rid of it. We'll take dollars. In Pakistan, we effectively in the last 6 months, our cheese dollar made price away. It was becoming pegged to the dollar. I mean, I'd go to even like the nursery guy buying, if you're buying plants, dollar's gone up, so I need to raise my prices, right? So, luckily we're past that stage. But in terms of, I'm trying to explain the stablecoin concept, right? So let's say the digital dollar and the analog dollar, which is the current dollar that they've been printing, it's going to come out on the first day at 1-to-1. Let's say 2 weeks later, that's where hyperinflation is going to be masked, right? 2 weeks later, it costs $1.20 to buy the one of these units. So now suddenly this is worth less, right?
Right.
And so everyone, and that makes sense, right? Because let's say you have trillions of these analog dollars in play, physically printed and in bank accounts. And then suddenly you only bring in like, you know, 10 billion of these new ones. So there's lesser quantity. Right. Then you print more, then you keep printing more. So money supply increases gradually.
Quickly go and buy them. And even if you're losing the value of your old dollar, you're not going to blame.
You just transfer it here. Right. So we're living in a system that reset in 1971.
Right.
The second they delinked from gold, what happened? Ray Dalio has a great story about this, by the way.
Yeah.
He says, look, I thought it was going to be the end of the world. The next morning I woke up, everyone went along because they weren't prepared. Yeah. And the markets went up. And we're actually now living, the current system that's ending, or on the verge of ending, is actually that 1971 system. And it's just that we've inflated all the value. So even if you look at the value, you've inflated all the value away from the reset dollar. And so there'll be another reset dollar. Whether that takes place in 2007, 2006, 2031, or 5 years later, I don't know. I mean, I can't speculate, but I do know at some point.
This is the direction that is essentially.
I believe, speculatively.
Makes sense.
Then we see if a digital rupee ever comes about.
Makes sense. Faisal Bhai, thank you so much for all that insight. First of all, congratulations once again on finally breaking the winter of sorrow and bringing some sort of optimism back to Pakistan. I hope this starts a ripple effect. Just an aapne kaha ki ek sort of bull run, not bubbly, much more driven by value and actual growth, real growth on ground.
Yes.
But I'm excited to see what these companies do, and congratulations.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for coming in and sharing all that insight.
No, my pleasure. Thanks again for having me.
And for all of you guys, thank you so much for watching. If you like this episode, please share it. In the comment section, tell me what do you think about, first of all, funding returning to Pakistani startups. Do you think ये बड़ी अच्छी क्वालिटी की स्टार्टअप्स में आई हैं? देयर इज रियल वैल्यू हियर. डू यू थिंक के आने वाले वक्त में वापस हम स्टार्टअप्स के अंदर कुछ पॉजिटिव सेंटिमेंट देखेंगे? इसी के साथ साथ, व्हाट डू यू थिंक अबाउट द इकॉनमी, अबाउट द चेंजिंग वर्ल्ड ऑर्डर, पर्टिकुलरली इन टर्म्स ऑफ द फाइनेंशियल सिस्टम, ऑल ऑफ द थिंग्स वी टॉक्ड अबाउट? लव टू हियर योर थॉट्स. यूट्यूब वाले लाइक बटन दबाएंगे, बढ़ेगी, ज्यादा लोगों तक माई कॉन्वर्सेशन पहुंचेगी. ऑडियो प्लेटफॉर्म्स वाले सब्सक्राइब का बटन दबाएंगे, आने वाले एपिसोड्स का नोटिफिकेशन मिलेगी. नीचे देखिए हुए लिंक पर क्लिक करके ओवरसीज पाकिस्तानी कैन सपोर्ट. If they'd like, this will help us remain independent as long as possible. But anyways, this was Sayed Muzammil Hasan Zaidi. You're watching Thought Behind Things. Thank you so much for watching, and I'll see you in the next one.